Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden and D. Quillen, your hosts for the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Well, welcome to the 144th episode of
The Inexplicable Dumb Show.
I'm John Malden.
And I'm T. Quillen.
This week on The Inexplicable
this
Dumb
week.
Show,
right.
We have Jerry Dye from Voices of the South being interviewed by us and having fun. And really sharing a lot about what his company is and talking about their most upcoming project, which is
the Memphis Children's Theater Festival. And it opens up this weekend.
Yeah, so if you're in the area, please go on out and check them out. They do good work.
Here we go.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play,
in,
the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater.
Hey, T.
Yes, sir?
Yeah, we have a very special guest on the phone with us today.
Well, who would that be?
That'd be Jerry Dye from Voices of the South.
Awesome.
Here to talk about his company and everything else. And I guess we'll welcome him first and then get started about the Memphis Children's Theater Festival that they're hosting. So welcome, Jerry.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Glad to. Okay. Well, let's jump right into the Memphis.
Jump into the deep end. Yeah.
Memphis Children's Theater Festival. Tell us about it.
Memphis Children's Theater Festival, this is, 09 is going to be our fourth year to have the festival. Our company, Voices of the South, started, almost 14 years ago.
Wow.
And, the company began, it was a two-person company, two women who were in college together with the rest of us in the company. And, they were looking for basically an excuse to go to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Scotland. So they created a show to make that happen. So I don't know if you're familiar with the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in Scotland. It's an amazing theater festival. There are basically shows happening in every crevice and every corner of that city. And so they made a show, put it together, hopped on the plane, and they had such an amazing experience doing the show, they decided to form a company based on the two ladies. Now, that company expanded to about seven, and the memory of being in Scotland was pretty extraordinary in that a festival that started to be really kind of edgy and, you know, in-your-face kind of fringe, if you will, theater, had grown up a little bit, and those fringy, edgy people, you know, with piercing and tattoos and people that were, you know, spinning from the sky and screaming and yelling and covered themselves in pig blood, were finding that they happen to have kids. The festival itself kind of started shifting in that there were a lot of programming for young people, with all the fun and kind of fabulousness of still with the fringe, you know, the strolling performers, the fire breathers, the jugglers, that kind of stuff. So that little seed was planted, I guess, all that long time ago, and years later we decided to start the Memphis Children's Theater Festival. So what we have are, it's theater on the hour, every hour, starting on, it's 2 days. We have a kickoff ceremony on May 22nd, which is the Friday night kind of celebration. There's picnic on the grounds, featuring our kind of premiere show. And then the next day is the all-day-long festival. It starts at about 9:30, and it goes solid till about 5 o'clock in the evening. And it's actually more than a different show on the hour, every hour. That's the fastest way to say it. There are activities outside, there are activities inside, different show, different performers, solo performers, and groups from all around the region that come and kind of share their wares and tell stories.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Extraordinary. And it's a pay-what-you-can experience, something that we remembered from the Edinburgh experience as well, was that even though you didn't have, two nickels to rub together, you still had this extraordinary kind of experience. Oh. So this year, we've got sterling performers, we've got jugglers, we've got a lady named Val Russell, who's pretty extraordinary. She's an aerialist, and she's going to be kind of spinning from the sky.
In pig's blood.
Lyra.
Right, covered in pig's blood, right?
Not covered in pig blood. We don't have a budget for pig blood.
That's a shame.
With the swine flu and all, probably a bad choice.
Good point.
So that's the festival. It's the fourth annual. We host it. There's a college here in Memphis called Rhodes College.
Mm-hmm.
And the McCoy Theater is on the campus of Rhodes College. So we have three major playing spaces plus a lot of tented area on the ground. The gorgeous green space at Rhodes.
Awesome. You already hinted about the history of the company and how it got started with the Fringe Festival and everything. John brought up just a second ago about the aesthetics of your company and how you guys go about telling stories and your adaptations of shows. Tell us a little bit about the MO of your company.
Yeah. Well, when we first started doing work, it was adaptation only. So, the first pieces created were adaptations specifically of Southern literature. We all went to school at the University of Memphis, which is how our company really grew and formed into really what it is today. The education we received at the university, amazing professor named Gloria Baxter, who really kind of inspired us all with adaptation work. And the work in the beginning was really verbatim, word for word, narrative adaptations. Which means we would take short stories in their entirety or sometimes sections of novels and we would make them active. And, you think kind of like the black turtlenecks and the kind of theater stage kind of experience. But we imbued those stories with a lot of, physicality, visual imagery. And some of those stories we actually still have in our touring program today. That's how it started. Now, since then, we kind of expanded our boundaries a little bit, I guess, as we all grew artistically as well, to encourage people to start producing original work, solo work, theater for young audiences, as I talked about earlier, and also just original plays. So we have pretty much a little bit of all of that in our season, peppered throughout our season every year. So the idea in the beginning was, again, Southern stories and you guys know, our ideas of the South are shifting. So it's not the kind of limp magnolia in the heat and rocking on the front porch cliche anymore. The South is a diverse, interesting, very interesting place to live. There's a lot of stories out there to be mined. And I guess that's really at the core, of our mission, core of the company is, stories are our elders. Books are our elders. And if we don't tell those stories, who will? So we try to work not only with professionals in the community, so artists of different ilks, too. We work with musicians. We work with, singer-songwriters. We work with people who consider themselves kind of classic storytellers, dancers, choreographers, as well as theater people. And we also work with non people who really don't consider themselves to be artists, non-artists, whether they're seniors or young people, in getting those stories out, finding those stories and kind of illuminating those stories with movement, physicality, sometimes, like I said, music, and the almighty visual.
How big is the company now? How many of you are there?
Ensemble members, we have eight. Ensemble members. We have, we have our touring manager. We have throughout the year a minimum of between 5 and 7 interns that actually work throughout the company. And then we have people, in our touring roster. So our touring roster right now, you can go to our website. Here's my plug, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can go to our website. Our website at www.voicesofthesouth.org. And you can find out what we have on tour. A lot of the touring shows that we have going out are everything from K through 5 to, like I said, the adaptations of Southern literature and also kind of history pieces, pieces on Frederick Douglass, MLK, adaptations from Eudora Welty, original adaptations of children's literature as well as original shows. So as far as the Voices of the South mission, the ensemble proper is 8 people, but really our mission is bigger. So we have so many people participating with the mission, whether it's through workshops or classes or, like we said, the festival.
Do you guys hold auditions at some point for your touring company or any of that kind of stuff? And how?
Well, we hold auditions for our season shows.
Okay.
We do collaborations with different people in the community and hold joint auditions from time to time. And we have auditions for our internship program. Usually if people make it into our touring roster, they have some kind of tried and true, sturdy, tourable piece with the kind of educational component and appeal that we need in our season.
Cool.
So it sounds, I mean, looking at your website, it seems like community support, especially for the children's theater, is outstanding. How did that sort of develop, and how are you being received not only at children's theater, but in all that you do? How are you finding the community embracing you, I guess?
Pretty well. With the festival alone, when it first began in the first year, we called it the Field of Dreams, right?
Okay.
So build it and they will come. And we did it in a theater with one little secondary, like one stage that's, like I said, I think Theater Works that seats 100. And then one little secondary space that maybe seats seats or stands about 30. And then a parking lot. And we thought, you know what, we'll see how it goes. If it goes really well, it'll be fine. Well, in the one day time, the first year, we had, 500 odd people with minimal advertising and minimal financial support that year. So, we built it, they came. And over the years, we've found ways to, which I think it's important for our mission and important for theater people and in general to figure out kind of creative ways for people to behave with your mission, your the story that you're trying to offer the community. We have what we call it's called the Family Arts Corridor. So last year we had around 28 different participating organizations. Those are arts organizations or arts friendly organizations, mostly nonprofits in the city of Memphis who wanted to do things like create awareness about their programming for the summer. So we invited all the people in Memphis, say, hey, you want to come for free, come set up a table, sell your wares as far as what your summer programming is, what you're offering, so that families in the community can really be conscious of that there's a strong and vital arts community in the city. The only thing we ask in return is, be pleasant. And also to do something that's interactive, an arts-related activity, so that you're engaging the kids. You're not just standing there or sitting there, rather, with brochures. So there's all this participation, whether it's financial, giving or just time.
Because
as you guys know, with theater and the arts people, sometimes all you have is time to give.
Right.
So, it's great. The participation has been extraordinary. Our online presence is really strong now.
Yeah. And so things are also growing as far as physical space for you guys, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we've got, we typically have said if there is a light bulb and a chair, and maybe not, we have probably either performed there or will perform there. So we've made our home in many different locations. As you can see with the Children's Theater Festival, our home is on the Rhodes College on that campus. Mm-hmm. We have another space that we perform in Theater Works where we do our main season of shows. We do about three or four shows there. Now, our office home, which is an institution, fantastic institution called First Congregational Church, which is, I was telling you, is just a really kind of fabulous, righteous, community engaged organization that opens up their very large facility at sliding scale to different arts groups in town. So there are a little over, I think there's at this point, there's around 30 to 35 different organizations that operate out of First Congregational Church.
Wow.
So our offices have been there for around 4 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now we just got a brand new space in that building. So we're, and it's much larger. We have our office space, but we also have a performance space, which we have been jockeying for a long time. Mm-hmm. So we're in the process right now of really renovating that space, tricking it out, making it fantastic, and having a home base for ourselves. And we'll keep all our other little fingers in all our other pies, but this is something we can really hang up a shingle and call home. You know, with many arts organizations, theater organizations, you know, that is it's a big step. So
right.
It's going to double our programming next year.
Any idea when it's going to open?
We will be, you know, christening it, you know, smacking the champagne bottle against the wall in September. There's an outdoor festival in the neighborhood where it's situated called the Cooper Young Festival in Memphis. And anybody from out of town should totally come. It's a great little outdoor community festival. So that's in September. I think it's mid-September. I want to say the 15th. So we will be kind of welcoming the community into the space, having some performances for young people, having some performances for adults all that day and all that night to kind of say, hey, we're here.
And so with the new space comes a new season. So what's up for you guys in your new season?
Oh, my God. it's live. So what we've been doing over the past few years is, as I mentioned, mining these stories, developing these stories from the community. So some of our solo performance folks, with their kind of personal narratives or adaptations, they're going to be performing in this space. So we have about four shows in the new space throughout the year, plus workshops and camps and whatnot. And then on our main season of shows over at Theater Works, first off in August is an original play called Cicada, written by moi. and it is, we're calling it a Southern coming of age ghost story. Again, beautiful, original music, and if I don't say so myself, pretty fancy writing there. so that's going to kick off the real season in August. And then our next show in that space is called Present Present. We've been doing a co-collaboration with a modern dance company here in Memphis for 6 years now. It is a basically a laboratory for new work. It's a new works festival. We say wrapped up with a big bow, disguised as a holiday show. every year we pick from our company, from their company, and also from the community, between 7 and 9 different presenting artists. They fill out a questionnaire, and that questionnaire usually leads them down the path of asking questions like, as an artist right now, what's your subject? What are you thinking about? Where's your head right now, basically?
Mm-hmm.
They fill out the questionnaire. I receive these questionnaires, and I fashion a gift for every single one of those presenting artists. And that gift is usually a three-dimensional, very elaborate gift that has pieces and parts that might spark the imagination, kind of make the artist think a little deeper about a certain subject or process information in a kind of creative way. There's music, maps, images attached to the gift. They open the gift. We have kind of a fake holiday Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Christmas celebration. They open the gift sometime around October, and they have October, November to put together 5 to 10 minutes of a performance based on their gift.
Wow.
And then we curate all the pieces together into one show called Present Present. So Present Present is our December show. And that's been going on for about 6 years. And a lot of what's so great about it is it's a fabulous show, but also a lot of new work has spun off from that show. People have developed full-length shows. People have gone on tour with some of the work that they created in that show. And then we'll turn right back around into our spring show. We have been commissioned by, of all places, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, where we got a bid to do some commissioned work for folks out west many, many years ago, really kind of at the birth of the company, to develop some work based on some naturalist, environmentalist writers from that region. That's a long story, which I'm sure there's not enough room on the podcast for. But
we should call you back and talk about, actually.
Right. We got this bid, and then what happened is they passed our name along to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge because the refuge is celebrating its 50th anniversary. Wow. There's going to be a commemorative stamp, all kinds of good stuff. And but we've been commissioned to develop work on writers talking about that region, that area. And we're going to be touring to Alaska, and hopefully they're putting out a fishing line to see if we can go into 7 states.
Wow.
Yeah, in the next 2 years. So we're going to kick off that show with a kind of a, you know, hey community, here's what we're doing in spring.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
cool.
That, right now the working title on that is called Wild Legacy.
Cool.
That is going to happen in the spring, and then we turn right back around for the Memphis Children's Theater Festival again.
Awesome. Wow, cool.
Yeah.
So pretty busy time then.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm happy to say that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nice to be able to do what you love.
Absolutely. And I can honestly say that the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is probably the last thing I expected to hear from you talking about the Memphis Children's Theater Festival, but that's
right?
Awesome. That's great.
Right?
That's good stuff.
Yeah, you gotta have a grab bag.
We will definitely be calling you back to talk about that, because that's fantastic, and we would definitely want to hear all about it. So plug the dates for the festival again. How can people get into
festival,
it? All that stuff.
It's Memorial Day weekend, or the weekend right before Memorial Day. It's Friday night, May 22nd. There's a pre-show family picnic on the grounds at 6 o'clock till 7:30. And like I said, there's lots of strolling performances, all kinds of BYO picnic. And then there's going to be a show after the picnic at 7:30 with, again, some music and a milk and cookie, the buffet.
Ooh, wow.
Friday night to kind of kick off the festival. And then the next day is really festival proper. Saturday, May 23rd, it's all day long for the whole family. Festival grounds open at 9:30 a.m. And there's workshops, games, arts activities, and like I said, a different show on the hour, every hour, until about 4:30 or 5. And if you want some more details, you can go to our website at www.voicesofthesouth.org, or if you want to talk to a human being, because I know sometimes people do, call 901-726-0800, and someone will be happy to give you the info.
Awesome.
So I have to ask, what will be the highlight of the cookie buffet? Which kind of cookie?
The highlight of the cookie buffet always, because this time of year, it's the first time that watermelon actually tastes pretty good.
Uh-huh.
I think something tells me there's going to be some pretty juicy watermelon up there alongside the cookie.
Oh,
so
it's not just milk and cookies.
Non-chocolate loving.
Got it. Okay. All right. Awesome. Well, thanks for spending the time with us today.
Thank you.
And we look forward to talking to you in the future.
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Awesome. See ya.
Hi.
Want to stay current with the Inexplicable Dumb Show?
It's quick and it's easy and it's free.
Click the subscribe button at inexplicabledumbshow.com
and you'll never have to miss an episode.
So, special thanks then to Jerry Dye of Voices of the South.
Yeah.
Memphis Children's Theater Festival seems like it's going to be a pretty cool thing.
That whole company seems like they've got a really great vibe going on.
Yeah.
So,
and what about the Arctic Refuge thing?
That was crazy.
Yeah,
was
we definitely got to talk to them again about that. 145. We're going to be talking to New Stage Theater in Jackson, Mississippi.
Oh, that's Francine Thomas Reynolds.
That is. And there's a lot of stuff going on down there. Eudora Welty new play series. They've got a show that they're opening soon.
Summer camps and all of
Yeah, all kinds of stuff going on.
And starting the whole new submission thing, right?
Yes. Yeah, they're going to be taking new submissions very soon for next year's Eudora Welty new play award. Because there's some money involved with that for some playwrights. So that's coming up next week.
All right.
Hey, we'll see you.
Bye.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Alternative Media.